Good morning. Welcome to the morning show with news and information from the center. I'm Ron Fruit. Today, the Richland County Historical Society fits in the middle of our spotlight on the morning show. Current president Ken Theed and past president and board member Dr. Jerry Bauer join us in the studio today. It's a good time to look back on what the Historical Society has accomplished this year, its plans for next year, and to do some reminiscing, which is always valuable. Gentlemen, it's great to have both of you in the studio with us this morning. Really, I know from visiting with you, it's been a good year for the Richland County Historical Society, Ken.
It really has. It's been a great year, if I were to phrase it that way. There's so many positive things happening, and I would use the term progressive, and that's a real plus when you're talking about an organization, especially in today's society, to have, we've got a solid group of board of directors, really great group, and just the fact that the history's moving forward, too, that's a plus.
I always think about Farm Progress Days when Richland County hosted, and Ben Logan and Jerry Apps were featured speakers. And their just declaration of importance was, write your story, document your history.
I think it's even more emphasized with local history. We lose sight of that. We've got a great historical record out there, but more and more family histories are becoming very important. I really see that through the Richland Center Genealogy Society, and I think more family history needs to be recorded because we're losing a whole generation back from us now. And if we can get that family history down, farming history, especially here in Richland County, the farms and the heritage that goes with those farms, I think that's just something we need to really strike an iron to again.
Sometimes it seems what we remember is so trivial, but once written down and documented, it's no longer trivial, no matter what it is it?
For our children, for our grandchildren, to talk about the good old days and tell me that didn't happen with your parents and your grandparents, but that's a history being handed down from generation to generation, and those stories can be so heartwarming, especially now at the holiday, the time of year when you really want to have family and friends, and you talk about those. Do you remember when? That's a classic line.
Your year at Aiki School was also successful, wasn't
Very
it?
Very much so. Over 100 visitors, and for us, that's really where we want to be at. I've talked with you in the past. With the size of the school, you know, if we have three or four groups during the day there, that's a good day. And so we've had that steady throughout with over 100 visitors for the season. That was a real plus. Our membership is now nearly tripled. That's a real plus, and we're still looking for more members. In fact, we even are out promoting. We send out complimentary copies now because that's such a positive thing to get that out there and available to people.
Well, the whole role of the Historical Society today in its mission is really very similar to when the Historical Society began, isn't it?
You know, it's funny. We were looking back at the booklet when I was there, and I have to give a shout out to Mr. Durst, who came and visited for a good hour and a half with his daughter. If you don't know Jerry Durst, he's 105. And we started reflecting. And he goes, you know, I remember when they were working on this building. And I said, well, we have pictures here. When you're 105, you can do that. And so my shout out, I'm hoping Jerry's listening, because I just thoroughly enjoyed the conversation with him. And we looked back at the pictures of when the building was being renovated and the time that was put in. And it was a bicentennial project. And, you know, so since 1976, that's been there and available as a real treasure in Richland County.
The years have gone by quickly, haven't they?
You know, it's like that song says, what's the secret to being 100? Don't blink. You know, and it is that way right now. You know, it's Thanksgiving, and Christmas will be here in 3 days. It'll be that fast. It's going way too fast, yeah.
Jerry, it's sure good to have you on the program today. When you came to our community to join the faculty at the UW-Richland, or now UW-Platteville-Richland, were you aware of the Historical Society, or what was its status and so forth, if we look back?
No, I sure was not. I was just brand new, and... No, it was a few years before I got involved. Of course, I was, you know, trying to establish a career, and we had four sons, and trying to raise them and keep them out of trouble. And I guess I really didn't have time for a lot of outside activities other than our church.
Did the Historical Society find you, or did you find the Richland County Historical Society?
No, they sought me out. They had me for a few programs back in the days when we used to do that fairly frequently, and they kept after me to come on the board of directors, and somehow very quickly I became the president.
Well, they knew a good man when they saw him.
Well, thank you for that.
But for you, I mean, in some ways it was almost an extension of your class, wasn't it, as you learned about the community and, you know, and what kinds of things did they ask you to present on, given the fact that you hadn't lived in Richland County prior?
Just anything that I was interested in, and one of them, of course, was the temperance issue, or wet dry if you prefer, and it was always kind of interesting to watch when they had those referendums to see what was happening, because one side was claiming that if we had licenses and alcohol was served, it would be the salvation of the economy. The other side said it was going to pave the road to Hades. And it was just always kind of interesting to look at that. And then I branched out into some other things. And that a lot of that is thanks to the Richland County History Room.
Which is a treasure for us, isn't it?
Oh, of course it is. You can't thank Margaret Scott enough for what she did in putting that together. And every once in a while I get a call from somebody and they say that we found some old family diaries or letters or something like that. What should we do with them? And I always recommend that they take them to Richland County History Room, because they're available to anybody who can come to the county room.
Why is it important that we have a Richland County Historical Society, Jerry?
I think it is that it keeps track of things that need to be kept track of, and so that people aren't always, as we say, reinventing the wheel and making the same mistake over and over again. And the Historical Society can be a valuable asset in that process. And so there are even still articles to write and that sort of thing, and using the assets of the Richland County History Room.
Ken, let me ask you that same question this morning. In your opinion, why is it important that we have a Richland County Historical Society?
I would take that back to just history itself, if I could, and not to digress, but I've been asked, why history? And I said, if we don't learn from history, we fail to repeat it. And that is something that I think ties into Richland County and Richland County history. It's our roots. It's what we are. And if we fail to keep track of history, and so much history has been lost, regrettingly, that we need to reinstill and invigorate in our youth and in our community and really a flourishing area, that we need to keep track of that history to learn from it.
Now, if we go back, when did the Historical Society, Richland County Historical Society, start? And do you, between the two of you, do you know how it formed?
Yeah, so I'm going to defer to Jerry on that one, because he's got that strong background. Mine really picks up from once the building was there, so I'm going to defer to Jerry for that.
Well, Alan Schaefer was the one who, I don't know if you would say revived it or reinvented it, and it must have been in the early 70s.
And he was a social studies and history teacher. Correct. At Richland Center High School.
Correct, yes. And we hadn't been in Richland Center for very many years when that happened. And I was asked to join, and as I said before, because I was busy with a lot of things, I declined. I declined to get involved in that.
But at that point, then, was the focus then similar to what it is now, to be able to document history and engage local people in that process?
Yes. And it was also to present the history to the community. And that's where those periodic programs came from that we used to host on a Sunday afternoon. And of course, you always ate donuts and drank coffee afterwards.
We joked about it at the board of directors meeting. The reason we haven't had them is, quite honestly, many of the presenters are no longer with us. You know, they've passed on. And so as we joked about that, Judge Kent Houck really deserves a lot of credit in those early years. I think for him, that was something to allow him to, in a very comfortable way, become involved in an organization without the slanting of his credibility as judge of the county. He could, in a very energetic way, and of course you know the history that he's collected and kept, and to his wife Marilyn, a lot of credit there with what they have accumulated, I think would be a good word, and we need to keep accumulating. A lot of credit goes to just Margaret Helen Scott, but also Twyla Kepler. What a nice transition there. And our current Crystal Foley does an outstanding job, extremely receptive and always willing to help. And so a lot of credit goes to her as well. So if you're out there in the county and you're looking for some interest, and Jerry and I both would defer to them and say, you need to get in touch with the second floor of the Richland County History Room, because they do an outstanding job. They really do.
To Judge Houck's, go ahead, Jerry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that they've done a fantastic job of indexing the collection that they have. And I'm sometimes real surprised. I'll go up there and I'll think, oh, I wonder if they've got anything about this. And I just go through those cards and all of a sudden, here's something. Once in a while, I'm disappointed. There's not anything.
Which means that in the future, there may be somebody disappointed if we don't contribute to the Richland County History Room as we should. I was going to say, to Judge Houck's credit, he was very much interested in history. He just enjoyed, you know, what had been and understanding how it could be important to the future. But it was under his leadership soon after then the reorganization of the Historical Society occurred that Aikie became a part or got on the radar screen for the society, didn't it?
He was the chair of the Bicentennial Committee, which was set up about 74, I think. And he was always, as Ken has already mentioned, very careful to protect the sanctity of his office as judge, because I can remember on occasions we asked him to participate in certain things, and he would say, no, I just can't do that, because I can't show any favoritism, you know, even if he's not showing favoritism, but somebody's going to think so.
That it would be perceived that he was.
Correct.
I do remember, of course, I had a different relationship with Judge Houck than most people did, because I rented his farm. And so for 8 years, he was Kent to me, and we would do things, and that was outstanding. But I remember one of the things we did, and of course they had the farm, we spent one morning looking for pipe that would make a suitable flagpole for the Aikie School Museum. And but he was that was a full-time job in many ways for that committee and for Kent, because they worked a long time to bring that Aikie school to a place where, you know, they could, you know, hang that shingle and say, this is something we want to have for the future.
That's right.
Now, then when did the tours begin? Was it open at that time in 76, and has it been open since then?
I believe it has been. And there's a 1976 calendar there that has the opening of the grand opening of the Aikie School Museum, and it happened to be that the 4th of July landed on a Sunday in 1976, and so it was a Sunday afternoon, and the school was only open from 1 until 3, and over the years we decided that we needed to expand the hours a bit, and so now it's open from 1 to 4 on Sunday afternoons during the summer and into the early fall.
If we would have gone to the grand opening in 1976 of the Aikie School Museum as hosted by the Richland County Historical Society, what we would see today would be significantly different, even though the building would be the same. But the collection has grown over time, hasn't it?
The collection has grown, and thanks to a wonderful bequest from Thelma Cooper's estate, we have been able to have framed many of the documents that we have. And I said, as that process was going on, that this is going to look like a real museum when we get done, because we quite frankly had things posted on bulletin board, and that was it. And that was important, and it was valuable to have those documents out where people could read them and they could look at them. But just from the aspect of looking great, the museum looks great now.
Certainly we have to talk about the Pauls family, don't we? Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do. Della, the way I have the story is Della insisted to her sons that they not turn that building into a chicken coop or a pigsty or something like that. She said, maybe someday there'll be a use for that. And then look what happened. There was this group of members of the Bicentennial Committee, many of them from the Historical Society, traveling around the county looking at various buildings, many of which were beyond restoration, at least beyond the ability of the Historical Society to rehabilitate them. And then they came across this Aikie School. And, I mean, they said it was in pristine condition, according to it. There were some things stored in there, but not any animals. I mean, you didn't have to scoop out the chicken poop or anything like that. And so it was a valuable thing, and they were willing to deed it to the county for a dollar. And so it was one of those, you know, I'll give you a dollar if you give me the deed. And the Historical Society agreed that it would maintain the building and would operate the facility.
Do you remember the reaction of the Pauls family once they saw the vision complete by the Historical Society and the work that was
not
done? But I'm sure that they were pleased.
Oh, yes. And Harold was a board member for years and years and years. And he once said, talking about misappropriating the language, he said one time in school, the teacher asked him to answer a question, and the answer was, of course, you could take a horse to water, but you couldn't make him drink. And he said, I said, you can take a horse to drink, but you can't make him water. And he said, class was over for that day.
There is a lot of history, though, that you have been able to recover about the Aikie School.
That's right. Yes. Yep. Yeah. And people are still offering us books and things, but we just can't honestly take any more books. All of our bookcases are full up. We've got boxes of books in the basement, which isn't the best place, but it's the only place really where we have any room. And so we try to keep it dry down there and keep them off the floor. But it's not the best of atmospheres. And so we just aren't in the business of accepting book donations any longer.
I think I'm right in my recollection that the Aikie School Museum was a part of the public television Jerry Apps program.
Yes, it was.
Tribute to One Room Schools,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, they came and spent a good half a day there shooting video. And of course, then they edited it afterwards. And one of the things I remember about it was that they had a brand new, fantastic, top-of-the-line camera. And they told me, they said, if you can see the camera, it can see you. That's kind of a scary idea. So I pretty much stayed outside most of the time. And the only part I have in that video is I did get a chance to run the flag up the flagpole. And I bet it was Kent Houck's flagpole.
It was, too. Jerry Bauer and Ken Thee join us today representing the Richland County Historical Society. Ken is the president of the Historical Society at this time, and Jerry is a past president and current board member. Speaking of generosity, the Historical Society, the gifts that were given to help restore the building and work on the windows, I remember that. Those were incredibly important, weren't they, Ken?
Extremely so. And, you know, you can go back to the idea of that bulletin board with thumbtacks in, and a lot of credit goes to Carletta Heidi, who took the initiative to say, we need to get these framed, we need to get these up. And we actually had a reopening of the school. If you were to go onto our website, Richland County Historical Society, Weebly.com, you can do a virtual tour. And we've got pictures of that reopening. And even with our current webmaster, Harold's wife, Barb Cody, now does a wonderful job of putting materials on our website and continuing to update it and upgrade it. And the idea of that is now you can, people have come to the Sundays, and I said, you know, if you want pictures, we've got them on our website. You can go to that website. And, you know, you think back, okay, with Harold. Harold started teaching in a one-room school in Pulaski Township just across the river, and then he went on to Lone Rock to teach. And having the home right across the Lemuel Akey home, that became really a treasure, I think, for Harold. He always beamed. I can remember that, Jerry, whenever he talked about the school, because he took great pride in the fact, and his mother is pictured right up front, and Della is a part of that. But for Harold, I think that's even more so. We even have a little segment on the brothers. There were three brothers of Harold's, and just the fact that they did appreciate that. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention Carletta Heidi and her subtle way of making sure everything was recorded historically. And I think both you guys would agree, as you're smiling, that she was really the go-to person. We've paid tribute to her by she had maintained from the original high school, 1910, a desk. And in a very subtle way, we've placed that desk up in the front of Akey with a picture of Carletta on it and just a little notation saying that she had preserved this history. Well, she preserved a lot of history and really made it presentable.
Yeah. She was passionate, wasn't she?
Very much so.
Yeah, her minutes are a historical record in themselves. It wasn't just this motion was made and it was seconded and this is what happened, but it was a lot of background of the conversation before the votes were taken.
Well, and you guys have to agree, and I'm sure anybody that knows Carletta, I can hear her chuckling right now, okay? And you guys, there was no dullness to the meeting, you know.
Oh,
was,
no.
You know, she kept that meeting going, and for people that knew Carletta, yes, she really deserves a lot of credit as well. We've had so many board members, we were talking about that have played just a role in keeping that historical society going. You know, I don't want to name names to miss any, but we've just talked in recent times in the passing of Eleanor Poole, and Charlotte Bindle should be given credit. And I have to digress just to one, the history moments, which I hope we get to talk about briefly. And Jerry doesn't know this, but the second week in December, and I'm not sure, Ron, if you do, is a tribute to the campus and the original 67, 68, and names like Blackmore and Hershey and Burkett and Shriver and Bauer. We had, and I'm paying credit to Jerry on air, we had just an outstanding faculty at UW-Richland, led by Dean Wallace. And, you know, as I did that story, Joanne Kulatz was doing the taping for me, and she said, you really enjoyed that. And I said, I could have talked for an hour on this. You know, it was where I kept it to a 3 to 5 minute segment. But that campus segment goes along with that, Jerry. So compliments to you as well.
Thank you. Then we think of the historical significance of Dean Wallace. That was more than local. That was statewide significance, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. She was the first woman to lead a campus, and first in a lot of other things as well, and.
Just thinking about the implications that made for higher education or for just education in general, her role was incredible, wasn't it?
It was. It was definitely. And early on, as the state moved toward closing the normal schools, which was the usual way that teachers trained for the rural schools, as a state moved toward eliminating those gradually, she just decided that Richland Center ought to have something to take the place of the county normal school, and she pulled it off, and she has to get a lot of credit. And there are a lot of stories about her, including the time that she led a group of people down to the Capitol, and the governor wasn't going to be able to see them. And she said, "Well, that's okay. We'll just wait right here until he can." And it wasn't too long before they were ushered in.
Well, you know, the 1960s were really turbulent in education.
Oh, yes.
We get asked with the Aiken School a common question, and of course it says you come in, and Earl Anderson plays a key role there. But throughout the area, you know, you can go to any of the area districts, and that's when joint districts and one-room schools, which we had well over 60, and we've got a map of that, they were transforming into more traditional education as we know it today, even more so than, you know, closing of the rural schools that we've had where everybody's going to one elementary school. Now you're seeing where these little one-room schools, which many of them still are out there, many of them are homes, but some of them have turned into buildings. You feel bad for the ones that didn't make it. The brick ones are still there. But that 60, 61, 62, where there was a lot of talk about joint districts forming together, and that's how we had the formulation of many of our area districts, even though there were high schools like at Sextonville or Boaz, you know. But the idea that those took place in the 1960s. And so now, you know, we're well over 50 years beyond that, and it's still transforming today.
Did you go to a one-room school?
Interesting, because I went to Riverdale. I graduated from Riverdale, which had just formed then from 63, and then the new high school being built, Riverdale with Blue River joining in 67, 68. I was privileged to go to Eagle Orion School. My dad, and I hope he's listening, went to Indian Creek, and that is just a stone's throw from our farm. And he tells stories much like Jerry Apswood of one-room schools. And we've also had with Delta Kappa Gamma, did with teachers that taught in one-room schools. Those stories are preserved. And you mentioned Ben Logan. Well, there's recording local history, let alone, you know, but the idea of Eagle Orion School at that time, where you had combined classes. So there was it was a four classroom set. One classroom was a multi-purpose room and lunch room and phys ed room in the wintertime. But first and second grade was together, third and fourth grade was together, and fifth and sixth grade was together. It still exists. It's out on Highway 60 West, about a mile from the junction of 60 and 80. But that was right when that transition was taking place. And so I got to go to close to a one-room school, but I was on the I'm a little younger than that. I just, you know, I'm just a little younger than that.
You went to a one-room school, Jerry, didn't you?
I did eventually. The first 3 years we lived in Hewitt, outside of Marshfield, and I went to a two-room state graded school, so that there was grades 1 through 4 in one classroom and 5 through 8 in the other classroom across the hall. Or as Dean Kempthorne used to say, the big room and the little room. But anyhow, I went to that. But then we moved to Merrill, Wisconsin, from which I graduated from high school. And so for half of the fourth grade, I went to the Brickyard School in Lincoln County. And interestingly enough, the Brickyard School is now on the Lincoln County Fairgrounds, and it is their model school. And it's only open during the fair, though, which I think is a shame, but anyhow.
Similar to what you've done with Aiken, then, as a historical society, right?
Correct.
But quickly, those who attended a one-room school, I did for a few months, and then the consolidation happened where we went to Washington, but went to Putnam School, which was carved out of the home farm, in fact, but then went to Washington, where it was a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, 8, four classrooms. But I remember, Jerry, many times you would bring in, or you would reminisce, or you'd have programs on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon with one-room school teachers. We've lost most of them now, haven't we?
Yes, I think they are all gone by this time, and that's kind of
just a few, but not many.
Yeah, we used to, have the grand opening at the beginning of June, and have three or four of those teachers come and just tell stories about their experiences, how they came to become teachers, and some of the adventures they had as teachers, and just some stories sometimes.
But the other part of that is that the adventures were understood by those in the audience.
That's
that,
right.
That understanding audience now needs Aiki School have some sort of perspective on what it was like to be a teacher in those days or to be a student.
That's right. Yep.
And how school boards have changed.
Yes.
I don't know that it's ever been easy. It isn't now, but it wasn't then either, was it?
No. You always had to worry about balancing the budget and... Well, today we worry about the price of fuel to heat and so forth and so on. They had to worry about the price of fuel, whether it was coal or wood or whatever it might happen to be.
But I also think, Ken, about the role now of like the retired educators, which very active under the leadership of Paul Murphy. Mm-hmm. It's one of the groups that I think is a complement to the Historical Society.
It is, and we've got several in the area, and we've been attempting to reach out to many of them. And the reason for that, all of a sudden you get a connection going, and you know, the retired educators are just a wonderful ad. Paul needs a lot of credit for that ad that's on for Education Week. Mm-hmm. And I really believe... And this is an outcome of COVID, because we've got positive things that have come out of COVID. It's where there's a greater appreciation for education. Parents really had an understanding of what the teacher went through and the importance of having their students do their studies and why homework was so valuable, that I think we can even revisit that now. And so the retired educators, as he has, you know, there's an appreciation for school board members, for teachers, for students and parents in the community that support education. We need that.
We'll take a break. This is The Morning Show. Glad you're with us. It's focusing on the Richland County Historical Society with our guests, Ken Theed, the current president of the Historical Society, and Dr. Jerry Bauer, who is a past president and current member of the Board of Directors. Welcome back to The Morning Show. The Richland County Historical Society is our focus today with Ken Theed and Dr. Jerry Bauer. Glad you're with us. Ken, on a regular basis, we hear your history moments each week, and they have been extraordinarily popular. It's really one of the new initiatives under your guidance with the Historical Society. Thank you.
Well, first of all, it's my pleasure. Anybody that says, I tell them I enjoy doing them, and it just goes in a flow, and Jerry will agree with me on this. When you start researching, one leads to another, and I've tried to have a nice variety. I've tried to have, you know, people, places, events. It flourishes. And so, first of all, I've really enjoyed doing them. And I've, you know, got you built up through the end of December right now, but 2023, I've already got going. And the reason for that is you just find an interest. And I just say to people, do you remember Paul Harvey and the rest of the story? And that's really how we got it going. And so the history moments goes back to that initial part of the Historical Society, promoting Richland County history. That's our goal. And with that being said, I really think it helps add to, achieve, complement that. And then it's downloaded onto our website so you can get your MP3 player. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on, where if you missed an episode or you want to go back and catch an episode as they're happening, I think there's right now like 35 on there where you can get the episodes. And thank you and WRCO for really making that possible. And it allows for people that didn't catch the episode or when was it happening to see some of that that's there.
I think it's interesting because you and I talked that every episode has generated some conversation, but we talk about the things in our families that may not seem important, but when you talked about the nuts and the cracking of the nuts, you know, at holiday time and so forth, how that generated so many reminiscences.
I easily had over 24 people right after Christmas last year when I talked about that bowl of nuts that's on the table. You know, my grandparents had that with the nutcracker and the nut picks, and that was a social part of it. You know, well, I didn't understand why the presents weren't wrapped. Well, they didn't have wrapping paper. And if I said Raggedy Ann and Andy, that was the popular gift back in the early 1920s. And you remember those things that as the stories are handed down. And thanks to my parents, you know, I talked with them, and really that added to my history, because every chance I get, I'm talking with my mom and with my dad, and we're going over old pictures. I did it yesterday, and I said that Law's Ferry, there was a house down there on 60, and I was going through some old progressives. Thank you, Wendell Smith, for letting me do that. And all of a sudden, where was that house, Dad? And he goes, I remember the house. I got to think about where it was and everything that goes into that.
Now, you mentioned the Progressive, but we think about the Richland Observer and so forth. Local newspapers are such an incredible asset, aren't they?
And I think we lose sight of that, especially now in a technological age where everything's accessible through Google and we can talk to our phones and bring up where the history is. And Phil would have to at least understand when I get on trivia, I don't go to the computer. I just try to use recall and what's there. I think we need to recognize those records. You mentioned Judge Houck. You know, if you go back to the 1906 history, that was Judge Minor from here in Richland County that's credited with upgrading and updating the history that we have for Richland County, and he was a major part of that.
But we think about the future, and you talk about if we don't learn from the past, we're doomed to repeat the same mistakes. Doesn't it seem like if we're interested in the future, we need to document our past?
I'm humbled by a number, so many former students, and I think Jerry can attest to this as well, that come back to me and say, you know, I remember, and as soon as I hear that, there's an appreciation for history. There's people who will say, you know, I didn't really like history in high school, but now I listen to the History Channel all along, and they're interested in history. There's a thirst for history and what would be our history. So to my former students that are out there, they don't know how it humbles me when they say, you know, and they want to talk history. That's even better.
Was that your challenge as a history professor, to cultivate an appreciation for history in students?
Oh, certainly. And I've decided over the many years that the reason we get more interest in history as we mature and as we move on in years is simply that you need some experience so that you've got a context for what you're seeing and what you're doing and what you're parents and grandparents are telling you, and maybe even great-grandparents are telling you. And so with that experience and with that perspective, then you have a greater appreciation for those things that, you know, all those dead guys that we talked about, you know, some of them were pretty important.
That shall be our significant statement of the morning in that regard.
You know, Ron, I want to take a moment here because I don't want it to be missed. And Jerry and I have talked about it. We'd like to do it on air. And with regrets, Beth isn't here, but I know you'll fill her in. My hope is that as we're one of the first in your closing moments through the radio station here, for all you've done for the Historical Society, I can't echo enough what we've talked about from the Board of Directors. So my hope is that we're one of the first of the few that you'll have left. It's kind of like Johnny Carson going off the air, or David Letterman and his final guests, where they would bring little things of recognition. What we have for you, in all sincerity, is an appreciation for what you've done for us, and Beth played a major role in that. So expressing what I have in hand right now, it's very simple, but what we've made is a plaque, and I'd like to read what it says on the plaque with your picture and Beth's picture together. In appreciation for the support given to the Richland County Historical Society and for the promotion of history in the Richland County area. Very simply, thank you. Ron and Beth Fruit, 11/21/22. So you know it was made within the last few days. And with that, you're receiving a lifetime membership to receive the achy breaky news in its entirety. And I, before we go off here, I've got to talk about the most recent one because it's really a good one. But for those two things, and I'm going to let Jerry follow up, we just can't say thank you enough for all you've done over the years for the Richland County Historical Society. And I'm going to turn it over to Jerry.
And I second everything that Ken has said. I know that when I first came on in the early years of being involved with the Historical Society, I was nervous about what I was going to talk about. And you always put me very comfortably in place and ask the right questions, and sometimes ask questions that I hadn't even thought of, and I thought, well, that's pretty doggone important. And so, Ron, you are an excellent interviewer, and like Ken, I appreciate everything that you've done for the Historical Society. You've kept us in the public eye, I think, from time to time, and it's been just great. And I used to come on middle of May, always looking forward to the first part of June and the opening of the Aiken School. It was just an annual thing, and I'd call you up and get a slot on the morning show. And I appreciate all of those, and I certainly agree with the sentiments that we're trying to express through this little plaque. Well, thank you.
Can't say thanks enough. It's an easy decision to give those who deserve airtime and publicity and recognition and honor that very thing, and that's certainly what you and so many others that we've mentioned today have done. Thank you. Thank you.
I know I'm echoing the sentiments of the community and the Richland County area for how you've preserved the history, just as you mentioned the newspapers, but here at WRCO Radio. And I always enjoy you talking about the AMC Gremlins and back in the day when Peter Thanis and everybody since, you know. For us, it's a way of saying thank you in a very simple way, but hopefully meaningful.
Well, thank you.
And I do hope that we're the first of many to take that time to really let you know. And by the way, you really need to enjoy retirement. My standard line, and I think Jerry would agree, I recommend retirement for everyone, okay? I really do. And I thoroughly enjoyed what I did. I know Jerry did because I had him in classes, and he was a mentor for me. And I enjoyed what I did. But I'm enjoying even more in retirement the things that I can do. I do miss the students. I do miss the classroom. I quite honestly never wanted to become an administrator. I wanted to be in the classroom, and I would hope my students recognize that in my classroom. But now, even more so in retirement, my hope is that you and Beth, and they're stated here with the two of you, that you guys are able to really enjoy your retirement just as much, if not more. How does that sound?
That sounds good. Thank you. Well, the achy breaking news, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about that today. The two of you have made that a labor of love.
15 years now, we're up to, we're adding on, a simple line. This most recent edition of October was mailed out a couple weeks ago. A few people haven't received that. Would love to hear from them if they haven't received it, because with the mailing, and thankful that we still have the snail mail process, because that is a means of putting it out there, that it was mailed out. I have to just mention, I would be overlooking something if I didn't. Our insert, which is the newest edition, which was just an 8.5 by 11 sheet of typing paper, front and then front and back. Now it's 4 pages. It's 11 by 17 folded. In this issue, we have Dion Kempthorne, and he will be featured in the upcoming week for the History Moments as well. He played on that 62 Badger team that won the Big Ten, and in a very eloquent way. And I know you can understand that with Dion Kempthorne if he's listening today. He said he would be in a tree stand probably.
Reading poetry probably.
and I have an appreciation for poetry from what he gave me. And quick story, I have to tell it, because I enjoyed having lunch with him. I've invited Jerry to lunch, because isn't it where you're asked to sit at the feet of Socrates and enjoy the stories? And he told me he'd line up from his opponent, because he went both ways, and he was known as a headhunter. I mean, he hit. And there's a clip out there on YouTube that you can get. And number 67 didn't stay at the line. He went out and looked for people to hit. He said to me, he said, you know, though, when I played, I'd come up to the line, I'd line up, and I'd look at my opponent, and I'd start reciting poetry. And the guy would look at me in the strangest way. And he said, then I'd go out and pop him. And he said, he never knew what hit him, he said. So that's in the achy breaking news. And if anything, that's an invitation to anybody out there that isn't receiving it to get in touch with us. If you get in touch with us, we'll get you copies. We'll get you a complimentary copy just to see. And I need to thank Jerry continually. He does the lead story, and in the way that he writes and what he does, I've kept, hopefully in a kind way, him doing so. The Achy Breaky News is out there for October. You get three issues now. We started out 15 years ago with just a sheet folded, and now it's grown to three. And we could do more, but we really don't want to. We do. It's a labor of love. And I enjoy putting the layout together. And it's just, again, our promotion of the history. So if you haven't got the issue, let us know. In the same token, if you'd like to, as a becoming a member, it's a great way to keep history going. And it gives us a lot of incentive. Again, our membership is flourishing. And we'd love to see it. My goal now is 200. Okay, so we were at 100, and now it's 200. It's just an easy mark to give yourself another challenge and another goal to get even more membership. And throughout the years, we talked about those seminars and just the things that we did. I remember putting up the tents out at Achy School. So those are all part of what we've been doing to keep the history alive. But the newsletter itself is really, truly a way that we kind of have accentuated our mission. And through Dr. Bauer and I, with the articles and the stories that we have in it.
For the person who has everything, a membership in the Richland County Historical Society would be a wonderful Christmas gift.
I can already tell you, I was contacted on Sunday. We've already got five requests for, can we get a Christmas gift to send to, and we had it last year where we actually had that promotion. Well, we're getting even more now. Two lifetime memberships on Sunday came about because they said, what can we do? And very simply, we do accept donations because it goes towards, it's a nonprofit. It's a 501c3. It's where none of the members of the board of directors are paid. Thank you to, Nick Stanichka and Paul Wertzema and to Jay Buchanan Muller and to Rob Bender and now Keith Ritten and to Barb Cody, because they give that energy to keep us going. But Jerry and I, we've got that newsletter as kind of a trademark for what we've done now. And
that's a we'll thank you for your membership, isn't it?
It is very much so. And again, in your radio spots, you do pick up on that very simply. It's a good way to keep history going, history alive, and it's giving us even more incentive to keep doing what we're doing.
If someone wants to join the Richland County Historical Society, they'd like to take that step and give it as a gift, either annually or lifetime, what can they do, Ken?
Very simply, you would want to mail a request to 213 South Central Avenue, apartment number 1, Richland Center. I'll say that again and I'll go a little bit slower with it. You just send to the Richland County Historical Society. The address is 213 South Central Avenue, apartment number 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin. I'll give my cell number over the phone here or over the radio.
Sure.
604-7622. Get in touch with me. I know Jerry gets requests just like I do where people are researching and they want information. Well, we can give them those avenues to get to it. And on the website, we have that now with a lot of the area contacts of how do you get a hold of the Brewer Library and how do you get to the Richland County History Room and a lot of the area contacts to get that research going. But we'd love to have you as a member. We've sent out to some past members. We're now doing on a regular basis, and I upped it. I got that at the last board meeting. We're sending out 25 complimentary copies random. In case you're curious how it is, I simply open the phone book, I turn, and I go till I find a name, and then we mail it to them. And you say, well, you mailed that to it. Yes, because it was where we were in the U's, and I used you as an example. We were just sending out random invitations for a membership, so that's a part of it.
Well, best wishes as you continue into the future. Thank you for being here today. A real privilege in that regard. If people do have an address change, if you move, sending that to this same address would certainly be appropriate.
Really help us out. And I tend to do this on a regular basis because I'll say, well, you got your copy. Oh, yeah. And if they say no, I say no. I know I addressed that, all right? I know I did. So it's a glitch in the mailing. So if you didn't get your copy, please get a hold of that address and we'll make sure it's taken care of. In fact, send us an invitation. We'll send you a complimentary copy. That's how eager we are to get you involved in Richland County history.
Well, sounds good. We'll look forward to many more history moments and lots of time at the Aiken School Museum in the future. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here today. Keep up your good work.
Thank you, Ron.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ron.
Dr. Jerry Bauer, Ken Thede have been our guests on The Morning Show today.